Welcome to this edition of What's Up Bainbridge, brought to you by BARN, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network. I'm your host, Bob Ross. Today we continue our series dealing with Bainbridge Island Metro Park and Recreation District. What it is, its history, and some of the exciting new things happening right now and over the next several months. And today we welcome back Board Chair of the Park Commissioners, Don Janow. And Don, thank you for returning. And you brought Ken DeWitt back.
I did. We couldn't get it. We didn't finish with him last time, so I brought him back.
Yep, here I am.
And the word on the street, Ken, is you're Mr. History.
Well, I've been around the district long enough that I know a lot of the little details, I'll put it that way.
In our last discussion with you, we did touch on some of the history. We talked about Battle Point Park and some of the stuff there. But you have some other areas to talk about as well that are significant historical sites on the park system. And so tell us about some.
Well, okay. I'll start with Fort Ward, because that ties right into Battle Point Park. People know that Fort Ward was originally an army post that was founded in 1890 by the army. It was built to protect the shipyard, the Puget Sound Naval Shipyard in Bremerton. It was originally named Beans Point, and then later on was in 1903 was changed, name was changed to Fort Ward. It was named after George Ward. I'm not sure who George Ward was, but anyway, that's who it was named after. The gun batteries there that many people are very familiar with down on the shoreline area and also on the hill part that is no longer part of the park were also built in the early 1900s, and again, to protect the shipyard from enemy warships.
And those are structures right now. I mean, you can kind of use your imagination and say, okay, what did this really look like when it was all fortified? And were there like gun units on top of these things?
Yes. There were artillery units on top. And at least one of the structures, you can still go inside. It's kind of spooky. Great place to go on Halloween, I guess. and then the other one that's up on the hill at the south end of the residential community has actually been turned into a home, or the foundation for a home. So, it's no longer accessible to the public, but it's a lot of fun. Down below off of Point White Drive, there are still the abutments for the old subchain or net that went across. Before World War II, the Navy put in a submarine net to protect against enemy submarines, and it stretched from Point White area over to Manchester, what's now Manchester State Park on the Kitsap Peninsula. So some interesting things there. Let me see. The Navy took over the fort in 1939 and established a top secret listening station to the Pacific. They were interested in finding out what was going on around the world, and they renamed it the Naval Radio Listening Station, Bainbridge Island. I've seen pictures of the old antennas that used to be on what's now the parade ground. And then later, the Navy also started, I think it was 1939 as well, the Navy bought what's now Battle Point Park and started building a facility there, which worked in tandem with the Fort Ward station. The Battle Point facility was called the Naval Radio Listening Station, Battle Point. So, that's a rather interesting thing. Let's see here. Ownership was transferred back to the Army after World War II, and then was decommissioned by the Army later on, and in 1959 was transferred over to the state park system. The state park system had a big master plan for the Fort Ward area. They were going to have a conference center there, as well as over 150 campsites in this campground up on the ridge. That never happened. The state decided that they wanted to surplus that property. And in 2011, we became the proud owners of it, along with Fay Bainbridge Park.
So, oh, yeah.
That's the quick history of Fort Ward.
And did both of those parks, was that one transaction they were together?
Yeah. They both came over at the same time. Fort Ward didn't have a whole lot of other interest in it. There was some other interest in Fay Bainbridge, but we won. The people of Bainbridge Island, I will say, won out on that one. So we were we were lucky on it. Interesting thing about Fay Bainbridge, it does have it's a regional connection because it was bought by this. Let's see, bought by the state of Washington back in 1958, I believe, and it was named after Dr. Temple Fay, who was a neurologist at the University of Washington Medical Center, and. Interesting. He was one of the pioneers in hydrothermia, using hydrothermia for medical and surgical purposes. Oh, wow. So the family, when they sold the property, Fay Bainbridge, for $5,000. Now, what a deal.
All of Fay for five?
For five.
Man.
Well, they sold it to the park district. They did require, or not park district, but the state parks, they did require that the name Fay stay attached to it. So that's why it's Fay Bainbridge State Park.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. That says a lot there.
Yeah.
I have a question, Ken. How, when parks acquired those properties, what was the process for that? How did you guys go about it at the time?
Well, the state basically walked away from them. In about 2009, I believe it was, they declared the property surplus and started the process of telling various agencies, come talk to us because we don't want the properties anymore. The state was in the process of getting rid of several properties at that time. There was the Rensselaer property on the Hood Canal, right at the inside of the hook of the Hood Canal, was another one that they got rid of. And there were several other ones around that they felt just weren't meeting their overall mission anymore. So we got involved, and we won. There was a lot of discussions about the properties, but it wasn't anything too complicated. Okay. And we didn't have to have any grants or major fundraising for that. I think I mentioned before that with Fay, we started getting involved with that park about 6 months before we actually took ownership. We went in and started cleaning it up because the state had just let it go. Mm-hmm. So, and there was just a number of things. You couldn't see the water from the parking lot, for instance, because we had a forest of scotch broom out there and a bunch of other things. So now the people of Bainbridge Island have a really nice park. And of course, if you go out there now, you see the pirate ship and the pirate captain out there, which that came from a donation as well.
Oh, cool.
And sand volleyball courts are out there.
Yes, and they came from a donation as well.
A couple of cabins. You can spend an entire weekend out there.
You could actually. There's a fourth cabin being built, and I think a fifth cabin, I think. But
I think it's the fifth one.
The fifth cabin's being built right now, and building another restroom out there too, because we didn't want people to have to walk down the hill to use the restroom. So things are changing out there, and the cabins are really hard to get on a weekend.
Oh, they are.
Even in the wintertime, they're usually booked.
It's an amazing place. Such a beautiful, beautiful park and so much going on. I remember this last summer, I think it was, we ran into a guy who was on his bicycle. He was going cross country. He found Fay Bainbridge Park and overnighted there. Mm-hmm. But it was, and I see people on bikes, you know, coming from the ferry to go there and camp.
Oh, yeah.
It's very cool.
Well, that was one of the reasons why the state wanted the property originally was because it was within easy commuting distance of the city of Seattle and with phenomenal views of the city, too. But then that became a liability later on when they were short of funds. You mentioned camping, though. Also, both Fort Ward and Fay Bainbridge are on the Washington Water Trails. So they each have kayak canoe campsites.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah.
What resources.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. So, so then we were talking the other, or last time too, a little bit about Port Blakely.
Oh,
which is just an amazing park. If you go take a look at it today, if you're a fairly new resident of the island, you don't really understand the history, just like it's hard to understand the historical significance of some of the other parks. But Port Blakely was one of the world's largest sawmills during its heyday in the late 1800s up through about 1929, I think, was when the mill burned down the second time. A lot of the lumber that was used to rebuild the city of San Francisco after the earthquake came off of Bainbridge Island and was milled at that mill. And then the property basically sat idle for several decades. In the mid-80s, Port Blakely Tree Farms that owned the property put in an application with the with Kitsap County, because at that time that property, there was the city of Winslow on the island, but the rest of the island had not been annexed yet. Port Blakely Tree Farms put in an application to develop that property with Kitsap County, and it was like kicking a hornet's nest on the island.
I bet.
After many iterations, a lot of the property was sold off. Some of it to a developer by the name of Kelly Sampson, who's got strong ties on the island. And he developed some large lot developments, 5-acre parcels, as well as smaller ones. As part of the overall agreement when the property was sold off, Kelly dedicated and built the trail that goes from the parking lot at Port Blakely up to Fort Ward Park.
Oh.
And so that was just a very, very nice thing to have. It's probably one of the more popular trails on the island now.
Especially since that bridge has gotten dropped in there.
Yeah, since the bridge has gotten dropped in there. So but getting back to the park itself, Park District and the Land Trust worked for several years to try to find a way to get by that from Port Blakely Tree Farms. Their original plan, meaning Port Blakely, was to have a little community center there with a grocery store and a few other things, and that didn't happen. So, I think it was 1994. I'd have to look at that one again. The property was actually 1999. Sorry, the property was transferred to the Park District. We had a grant to buy part of it, and the Land Trust worked very hard on it. So that property was brought into our ownership. We subsequently had a planning effort and developed a concept plan and started working off the concept plan. Since then, gosh, we've put in the kayak storage there, put in several other trails. As Don mentioned, the bridge. That bridge was a 15-year process to get done.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we had a donor who throughout that 15 years said he was very interested in getting it done. And we were just hoping that we get it done in time. And he was there on the day we dedicated it. So it was really great.
And there's a really beautiful little beach down there too. It's kind of a hidden gem. If you want sand, head over there.
That's right. It's maybe 100 feet wide at the most. It's a very popular spot though. On a sunny summer afternoon. And the bridge put it, gave it more exposure, so to speak. Before, you had to walk around and it was tough to get to. So the bridge sits, or not the bridge, but the most of the park sits on the actual side of where the mill was. If you walk on the ground, the beach around there, you'll find these globules, which are old iron filings from the mill where they did the saw sharpening and then swept the iron filings from the saws through the boards and the floor and went onto the beach. Now, if you go down there, over the next couple of years, you're going to see quite a bit of work down there, because the during the mill time, a lot of sawdust and other wood products were dumped into the water.
Yeah.
And over the last few years, the state has determined that those decaying products that are well under the soil are creating problems for fish. And so the state is starting to work on working on cleaning it up, I guess is the easiest way to say. So if people are down there, they're going to start seeing a lot of excavation work and resculpting and so on and so forth.
They're cleaning that out.
Yeah.
And redoing the contours and
right.
stuff.
Right.
Ken, before we wrap up, you mentioned something when you were describing things a few minutes ago, kayak storage.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain about that?
Sure. It's just a facility where you can lock your kayak up. You can rent a space from us and lock it up. It's outdoor storage. It's not covered, but it's a place that it can be. They can be chained or cabled up and locked.
We're at Faye Bainbridge fairly often. Is that what I've seen there too? Is that available there?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Up at the very north end, there used to be a boat ramp there many years ago. So that's right up where the old boat ramp was.
And there's one at the Point White Dock as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
So residents, if they have a kayak, and if space is available, I assume, they can rent mm-hmm. from the district.
Yes.
Oh, that's
makes it really nice. You can just take your bike down to your kayak, get in your kayak.
Great.
Go that's out right. on the water. Perfect.
Yeah. There's another thing I ran into at Faye Bainbridge this last summer was a guy with his traps.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the crab pots?
The crab pots.
Oh, yeah.
And he was loading them in his kayak, and he could barely get in, and he was heading out. And so I learned all about this technique.
I've seen people with crab pots on their paddle boards also.
Yeah.
One thing I'll mention, you bring that up. When you're at Faye Bainbridge, you'll notice that there's no shell fishing signs. We instituted a permanent ban on shell fishing, or basically digging clams and so on, several years ago, because the beach and tidelands were being damaged by people who were digging up gooey ducks and other clams, and just leaving the big holes and disturbing the fledgling eelgrass beds and so on.
Oh yeah.
So we implemented a permanent ban so that the tidelands could start being restored. Mm-hmm. And you can still look out there and see some of the damage. And this is five, six, 7 years later, but it is slowly recovering.
Well, Ken DeWitt, thank you so much for broadening our horizons in terms of what's going on with the parks. What a rich place we live in. Just amazing.
Yes, and it's amazing that the connections that we have to history here.
Yeah, very good. And Dawn, thank you for bringing Ken back.
Thank you. My pleasure. Always nice to be here with you, Bob. Thank you. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us today on this edition of What's Up Bainbridge, brought to you by Barn, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network.